he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, it's good to be here at Fiasco Studios in Vancouver. It's raining outside, but you know what? I don't care because I'm happy to be alive.
Oh, brother. Well, I'm happy to be alive, too, but I do care that it's raining. However, it's beautiful and green, and it's not too cold this time, but it is raining. But the forecast says it's going to be nice on Saturday and Sunday, so hallelujah for that.
What is with these people who always complain about the weather, and yet, as far as I know, it's something that we absolutely have no control over?
Well, I know, and you know what? If you want sunshine 24/7, then you better move to Hawaii, right?
Actually, there it even rains. They have tropical storms.
Right, but they only last like 10 minutes.
And we even saw people there that complain about the weather.
I know, a 10-minute thunderstorm.
So you can't get away from yourself,
No, you can't.
Well, it's SNU, and it's great to be here. So let's move on to our first wonderful topic. Dear, what's cooking?
Well, what's cooking is honey halva. And this is something that we make in a pinch when we're just, we want a little something sweet. So what we do for a quick sweet treat that's natural and satisfying, we make some homemade honey halva. Now, you can buy this in the stores, but just make sure that it's made with honey because a lot of them are made with sugar and some other gunk in there. Now, depending on how sweet you like your treat, you can adjust the amounts of honey to tahini. We make it a 1-to-1 ratio. And like I said, if you like it a bit sweeter, use more honey. So what you want to do is stir vigorously together in a dish. This is what Corey does. This is his job. About 3 tablespoons of unpasteurized creamed honey. Now, you can use the liquid honey, but I prefer the creamed honey with 3 tablespoons of sesame tahini. Now, what you do is you mix it in a bowl until it turns into a really heavy paste. And you can also add some pistachios or any other kind of crushed nut or seed, carrot chips, etc. And when this is all made, like I said, a nice paste, just take a little teaspoon at a time and take small bites of the halva. And it's just so yummy while you're watching TV.
Well, I've got a hell of a halva story. Actually, I'm thinking of the 2007 Natural Olympia and going back to Greece, because I have been there before, and that is the home, the center, and the origin of halva. It is a European Greek dessert, and the original recipe did use the tahini, the sesame seed paste, and honey. And then there's this whole method that is more than just stirring it up like we're talking about. This is the simple method. But to actually make the real McCoy requires much more. But none of the halva, the original halva, could I find in Greece. And of course, along with that was the realization that their entire landscape of nutrition has also been compromised. It's very, very difficult to find some of the original whole food that made Greece, to me, so wonderful and special. So halva is a great treat, and unlike all the other treats that people are gulping down by the barrels today, we have really got to understand the detrimental effect of fructose and high fructose corn syrup and sucrose and cane sugar and these refined sugars and what effect they have on the body and the brain and the immune system, because it ain't pretty. And also thinking of the 1-to-1 ratio, isn't that a bit like you and me, sweetheart?
Oh, brother, I think you've had not enough coffee yet this morning. So try that. I know that kids will love it and you'll love it. And like I said, you can add anything to it that you want. But, you know, try it both with the liquid honey and the creamed honey. But it's really delicious, absolutely scrumptious. And you can always have a big jar of tahini and a big jar of creamed honey. And anytime you want to have a treat, there it is. And like, you can always use the creamed honey for other things, as well as the tahini you can use for other things too. So they really are two staples that you should have in your home all the time.
Yeah. And a word of advice to the guys out there. When you try and be extra nice to your girlfriend or wife, they will always be suspicious.
Oh, brother. Let's move on. Moving on.
Okay, so, and also one more thing about the honey. It's got to be unpasteurized. It's got to be real. Yes. I just bought some wonderful Canadian honey, some local honey from BC, and it is dark black.
Ooh, really dark.
And a lot of people don't like it. And we also, being back now for a little while, I was fortuitous to find some of my favorite bee pollen.
Oh, that's right.
Chilliwack River Valley, that beautiful soft pollen that beekeeper takes out of the hive. He does not air dry it. He does not oxidize it. He puts it into a deep freeze and then ships it out.
So it's soft. It's not like the
refrigerated.
Hard
pellets. Yeah, it's soft.
It's delicious. It
oh, my
in
goodness.
Your mouth.
Now, you can also roll that into honey. You could add that to halva.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like the nuts and the seeds. I don't like the crunchy.
Yeah.
Element of halva. I like the softness of it.
Yeah, but some people do, right?
Absolutely.
That bee pollen you can also add to cookies, too.
Make sure that your nuts and seeds are unsalted and raw.
Yes, yeah.
So then that would add to... And this is a great snack for kids, as as you said,
absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right on. So get it on with the halva. Okay, so who was our last month's special guest?
Our last month's special guest was Karen McCoy. Beautiful Karen is a great example of a walking, talking role model for natural health and fitness industry. She is a wonderful public speaker who tells it like it is. Karen was a special guest speaker at the CHI camp, and we had the opportunity to spend some quality time together at the camp and before the camp. So we had some dinners and had some laughs.
And where was the camp?
In Waikiki, Honolulu, Hawaii. So she's a really great gal, and we really thank Karen for her words of wisdom.
Yeah, and she's also a good business person with some aptitude there. She actually downloaded the SNU that featured her as a special guest, and she put it onto her site, and that allowed her people, her clients, to listen to her give her spiel. It was an excellent interview, very, very rich and great content. And this is a person who kind of built herself up from the bottom up and has gone through all the things that people need to get through in real life, the stuff that you don't get in school and university, to become who and what she is. And I'm talking now about the health and nutrition component. You can go to school and become a dietitian, but you will never learn what it's really like to have to diet in a championship bodybuilding competition, or maybe a Miss Fitness, or if you have to use whole food to overcome an illness. You will never know what that is like going to school unless you've done it yourself. So I think that some of the very best teachers are the ones that have gone through the muck and mire and survived it. And now they know, because no one can take it away what they went through. Doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how critical you are about what they're saying. They know what they know because
exactly.
They lived it.
Yes. Times may change, but they actually experience. And experience is a good teacher.
Absolutely. And it's very important for everyone out there. If you're confident in what you know, because you've gone through the same thing, don't be intimidated by people who condemn or criticize or oppose you. No one can take away your real life experience, and it doesn't matter what the textbook says.
Well, what I find really funny is that there's these 25-year-olds telling you and I what's right and what's wrong. It's like, come on, we've got 25 or 30 years on you. And you just have to kind of laugh, because sometimes at that age, you know, and even teenagers think they know it all, right?
Well, of course.
Well, I did.
That's
at 17.
Kind of built into the system.
At 17,
and
I
for
knew
some
everything.
People, it never stops seething through their brain. There are individuals who do think they know it all continuously since the day they were born to
they
die.
Yes, Corey Hawley. Yes,
but
Corey
I can't
Hawley.
Relate to that.
Yes, Corey Hawley.
You know what? I think that there's something different between understanding and wisdom and knowledge. And I'll just let it be at that.
Yes,
but
good idea. Let's
you
put
come
more
to
ahead.
Terms with what you do not know and the vastness of time and space. And then you realize that what you do know is, in terms of quantum physics, just a drop in the bucket of oil, like all that gushing oil coming out in the Gulf of Mexico now. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it certainly is something.
Wow. Take a look around and check out the environment and what's going on this planet. And you know what? If you don't think you need to protect yourself by taking antioxidants and vitamins, you really don't know what's going on. If you think that the world's going to become a beautiful, rosy, wonderful place as we move forward in time, this is just one more episode of the state of affairs on the planet.
Right.
So we really have to train. We really have to look after ourselves more than ever. And that's what I see in that oil gushing out. I think to myself, that is more confirmation that what I'm doing is right on the money.
Right. And you need to stay well and healthy just to cope, to be able to cope with what's going on in life.
Yeah, and don't take your health for granted. Continue to work at it. Continue to cultivate it. Continue to manage it. Grow and learn and add more information into your head, because we're motivated from inside, not from the outside. Unfortunately, a lot of people are motivated to respond by fear from outside experiences instead of being centered and clear from the inside and making more rational, calmer decisions.
Right.
So I think I will take a bit of that advice myself.
Good deal. Good deal.
Moving on to our next topic. Our CHI, Highway to Health Update.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, we've had quite the month, haven't we, Corey? Been back 1 month, actually. And in that 1 month, we've been back to Vancouver. We've seen the sights. Vancouver's a fairly new city, so there's not as much construction going on now as there was prior to the Olympics. But it really is a beautiful city. It's a modern city. The traffic's getting a little bit out of hand.
You know what? I disagree. I think there's more stuff going on. I think there's more road work going on. Like, they've got the Portman Bridge, they've got the Lionsgate Bridge, and everywhere I drive through the city,
right,
which is always plugged up, they're digging up, they're grinding, they're chopping. So I think that, and there's new buildings going up.
Well, they're, so
that's the nature of progress.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone says is wrong with the world, is that the force of progress is eating up the environment and destroying the wildlife and polluting the air.
Right.
But
right,
that's the nature of the beast, because everyone's getting paid for the work they're doing and nobody wants to stop doing it.
Yeah, and half the buildings are empty too, aren't they?
Well, I'll tell you, everywhere on the planet, there is economic stress and hard times. And we just heard about Greece, speaking of that.
Yeah.
You know, they've been turned upside down, and the euro now has lost a lot of its weight, and the American economy seems to be in the gutter. And you know where is a good place to be right now?
Where is that?
Canada.
Oh, there you have it.
Yeah, we're in the right place,
dear. We're in the right place.
We're kind of a strong,
right place,
healthy
right
place. Small population, lots of natural resources, clean air and clean water. And I was just reading Colgan's book last night. We're one of the only two cities in North America that does not fluoridate our water.
Ooh, la
too much
la.
Chlorine. That's why you got to filter it. But still, it's
yes,
not a bad place, Canada.
No, it's not. It's beautiful. And we do notice the fresh air. But it's a smidgen chilly here compared to where we were. Anyways, we did come back to Vancouver from Hawaii to assist with my father-in-law, Corey's stepfather, as he was ailing in his health. And unfortunately, 3 weeks into our trip, George passed away on May 25th. So we were very thankful that we were here to be able to help Corey's mom and be with the family and the kids to assist in this passing on.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of forms to fill. There's a lot of bureaucracy. I asked this question, who owns my body when I die? And you know who owns it? That question still remains unanswered because it's taken away by law. You just can't keep that body and bury it in your backyard. But you continue to somehow be obligated to pay for all the services, and yet the state takes the body and does what it does and then charges you right through the nose. And that's what I have seen. I have seen some really incredible things going on through this whole affair. And it relates to the big C word, corruption,
right,
bureaucracy,
yep,
manipulation,
money,
fear-mongering.
It's all money.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. The banks, the government, the funeral home, the coroner, and how much power they have when they come into your home and until they make their final judgment, whether they want an autopsy or not.
Right.
It's just incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And throughout a lot of this stuff, I don't think that each party really knows what the other party is really up to. And I can see how in government they lose track of what's going
exactly
on.
Exactly. You
know, the CIA and the FBI and the Central Police Force and all this.
And then you're dealing with people who are emotional when they lose somebody. So they really get you at a bad time. They kick you when you're down.
Yes.
You know?
And I do want to say that I did love George. He was a fine man. He never said an unkind word to me. He was a forensic engineer, a brilliant man.
Mm-hmm.
He had a knowledge of physics and math that was just astounding. He had the highest degree in the world that's possible as an English engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a list on his card that just went right to the backside. But he
right
was a guy that used more rational thinking than emotion. And he had a lot of interesting things. I was very fortunate and privileged to have spent the final weeks with him because he and I would talk about life and its meaning and its purpose. And I do want to say that he left me with one single fragment of thought before he passed away, because I was with him just before he passed away. And I might add that he was functional and went to bed and fell asleep and died.
Exactly what he wanted to do.
In his own bed, in his own home, on his own land.
Yeah, exactly.
That was pretty cool. But he did say that the most important virtue and element of life there is courage. Mm-hmm. And he was relating this to the freedom to think your thoughts and to find people that you could feel free to express those thoughts to. I mean, tell people exactly what you think about everything. Even if the whole world disagrees with how you think, that it takes courage to be able to do that.
Right. And it takes courage for the people who are on the receiving end of hearing what you have to say to not be cruel and mean and opposed to you, just to give you the freedom to be able to speak your mind. Right?
Absolutely.
So it's courage on both parts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Another lesson that I have relearned, because I kind of know this in my heart, is that when someone is lost, and I mean, quote unquote, lost, nobody owns us. We don't lose anybody. We think we own them. We think we possess them. We think we possess our possessions, but we do not. He was a collector. He had this wonderful sword collection. And I think he collected cars and coins.
And chess sets and
he had this incredible train set. But it was all left behind. And after being cremated and sending him back to the beyond, wherever that might be, we're left with his house and all his possessions, and most of them don't mean a lot to anyone else except him. So really, is that who and what we are? Or are we more than the things that we think we possess? Because what's obvious to me is that he didn't really possess them. He had sort of a temporary custodianship over them, but he didn't really own them. And it's amazing, and I think that what we're getting now is by what we did a few years ago, by letting go and getting rid of all our stuff and being free and nomadic and wanting to travel around the world and work our business the way that we're doing, we can see that freedom is worth the cost. It is worth the price.
Right, right. Just pick up and go, because that's a lot of stuff that has to be looked after now.
And freedom isn't free.
And, you know, it's really interesting when these things happen. You see the true nature of people around you, and there's a lot of greed. And I don't know if people really mean to be that way, but there's a lot of greed when it comes to stuff. So it's another journey of self-discovery for us, because we like to talk about it, we write about it, and that's what we do.
And also
watching
experience
other people
it.
Experience it.
Also
yeah.
experience it.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not attached to it, if you're not attached to people, people think that you don't love them or love these people that you claim that you're not attached to. But I disagree totally. I think that you love them more. I think that when you let something go and allow people and things to be free, like animals in the wild, or you're not too attached to stuff. I'm not saying that the stuff in itself is bad, like money. I was talking about this the other day. I think the Tin Man needed oil to move around, and that to me is money. But what was he looking for?
He was looking for a heart.
And what did the wizard tell him at the end of the movie?
Oh my gosh, quiz, quiz, quiz. He already had a heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
We already have the most important things we need, the stuff inside. And every master that's ever lived has always said, it ain't around you, it's inside of you.
But you need to exercise it.
You do.
Need to go and find it. You need to go in and you need to actually use it. If you don't use it, you lose it.
And I believe that the power to be well emanates from within. It's a consciousness. Health is a state of mind. Preventive medicine is a state of mind. It's all a state of mind. It has to do with the erasure of fear and the envelopment of love of self and people and life and the excitement of being alive, as opposed to being depressed and focusing on the loneliness and all the negative things. I think that there's so much going on within anybody that they often don't see it, and it's almost like a waste. It's like a treasure they have, but they don't see. It's right there inside of them. So when we so-called lose somebody, I think it should remind us that life is like a vapor of gas. Poof, it's gone. And I already see the fact that I'm already gone in the hands of time, in the continuum of time. I'm already gone. So I'm here to live. I'm here to find whatever it is that will bring fulfillment and joy. And how can you do that if you're not physically, mentally, and emotionally well?
That's right. You said it.
That's why that's always the trump card. That's why wellness should be first and foremost in the back of your head and on the front. That's what people should see when they see. I think I just made something up that's kind of cool.
Well, whatever.
Okay, what's next, dear?
Okay, well, we did attend the CHFA trade show, the Canadian Health Food Association trade show, which we haven't attended in about 3 years. And it was fantastic to see the, I don't mean old faces, but the faces in the industry, some working colleagues, some friends in the industry. It was really great to see everybody.
Oh, yeah. And I got some great videos. Actually, you helped me with that because you're the videographer.
I was behind the
camera.
Isn't
it amazing what you can do with a small little digital camera and capture?
We captured, I think we got like 9 or 10 fantastic interviews with great pioneers in the industry, like 2 minutes of what they're doing in their life and how they've changed the world, so to speak, truly. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, we talked to Lee Labrada on training. We talked to Udo Erasmus on the latest and greatest with fatty acids. We talked to Sam Gracie about greens. We saw some people that we met on our RV tour down in Tucson that have a new company in Canada. It's just so very cool. And then we capture those. And of course, that's all about Qi TV, Dr. C on Qi TV, which is very, very cool, our new network. So everybody get out there and on our homepage at CoreyHawley.com, just click the little TV there and you'll see all the latest videos on YouTube.
And don't forget that if you are an active CHI member, you also get a complimentary consultation with Corey. So just email me, Tracy at CoreyHawley.com, and I'll set something up. Okay, the next thing on our list was Corey's sister, Maria, went away for a week for a convention, and she has a really nice downtown apartment and 2 dogs. Anyway, Amber and Lexi are about 10 to 13 years old. I'm not sure which one's which. And we minded them for a whole week. Now, there's Corey doing something he professed he would never do in his life, is clean up after a dog, and he did. But you got to know that right downtown Vancouver, in amongst all these beautiful high-rises, is this gorgeous dog park right by the water, about 2 acres of prime property. And all you see is people running around with their dogs and the dogs pooping everywhere. And I'm thinking, wow, this is prime property here. They could get millions and millions and millions of dollars for it. But that is what the catch is. That's what compels people to want to live in that area, because this is where the dog park is, so they can charge higher rent for these apartments because of the dog park.
Well, everybody's got a dog.
I mean, really?
Status quo. Now, you know, I got this thing about dogs and pets, and I'm a great fan of the Planet of the Apes. And if you know what I'm speaking to, then you'll understand what I'm getting at. I love wild animals. I don't like the way that we domesticate animals. I don't like how we feed them. I don't like how we treat them. I don't like how we put collars around their neck and lead them around. I don't like how we force them to hold their poop in and train them to poop out according to our schedule. But anyway, for me, it was a great lesson, because this is the, I think, the greatest lesson I learned from the whole experience. It is easier to pick up the poop from dogs than to deal with the poop that comes out of some people's mouths on a daily basis.
You got that right.
Yeah. You know what? Compared to humans, dog poop ain't nothing.
Yeah, it is.
They don't have an agenda.
No.
They are going out to do their dirty deed. And of course, I think it's important to clean up, whether it's with dogs or horses or cows,
just clean
or
up after
just
yourself.
Ourselves.
Yes.
It's a lesson in stewardship.
Yes.
Having a dog. But again, I don't have a dog. I don't think people have dogs. I think the idea that you can buy and sell them is a kind of a form of slavery, but I won't get into that.
Kind of like marriage?
Yeah. Well, that ultimately probably came first. Before there was actually
slavery
human slaves, there was the slavery of marriage. And let's not forget, guys, that that was induced by females.
But, you know, the dogs were lovely. And when we left to come home, I miss them, because they were so neat to have around, because they're really good dogs. The only thing is Lexi is like part Samoyed. So she was going through a shedding of her hair. So there was dog hair everywhere. And my poor little eyes were all red and itchy and my nose was running. But they're really good dogs. And I mean, they're 10 or 12 years old, so they know the drill when it goes. So they knew how to get out of the door and how to go in the elevator and which way to turn to go out the door to go to the dog park. It was really quite
cute.
In
actuality, I think that dogs are much smarter than a lot of people. And also, something else I learned is that the dogs take the humans for the walks.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not
yeah,
the other
yeah,
way around.
Yeah,
I met countless people that said, thank God for my dogs, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be moving.
Yeah, yes, well, I've heard
so
that so
there's
many
all
times.
These things that we got and learned from just participating in this very short time
but
period
you can see
of
the
managing
difference.
Dogs.
You can see the difference in the girl dogs and the boy dogs, right? The boy dogs had their masculinity, running around, lifting their legs off, peeing everywhere, and the girls would sit down and pee, and the male dogs would be going around sniffing all the other dogs is in the behind, and the girl dogs would be yep 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 yep. It was amazing.
Isn't that similar?
And looking at the people that own the dogs, they actually do kind of look like their dogs. I don't know. Corey and I would just sit there. I mean, it was a whole week, and these dogs had to go out four times a day. So you know, you get to learn a lot in that 1 week, four times a day, witnessing this stuff. So we just thought we'd write about it and talk about it because I mean, and I really do. Really did enjoy looking after them. It really was a pleasure and an honor to be around these dogs.
Well, there's a connection that you develop, and there is an affection, and there is something almost spiritual, if I can use that term, but it's a soul connection, and I can see why people develop relationships with their pets and dogs, and I'm still not convinced that the animals have the same capacity that we do for love. But it would appear as if they do, but I can't read their minds. And so we have to, I guess, ultimately assume certain things. It's almost like a form of telepathy when you're looking at that dog and the dog is looking back at you. And it certainly wags its tails. And I wonder if it would do that for just about anybody if they had the right food at the right time. But who knows? I guess ultimately there still is this desperate need for affection in humanity.
Right.
And when you can't find it in people, and when people are mean and cruel, which they absolutely can be, even the ones in your own family, you can go to your dog and sit down and hug that animal, and that animal will lick you and be nice to you. And that's pretty amazing.
Well, the dogs, they didn't always want the food, but they were always looking around for food all the time, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah. When we were serving food, they'd always be looking at us.
They would take your hand and under their nose and want you to pet them. You know, and that was really cute how they did that, because they like to be stroked. They like the attention. And then when you talk to them in doggy talk. So it was really a neat, interesting experience.
Yeah. Another notch in the belt.
That's right.
Good, good, good. Well, that about sums it up. We've talked about all kinds of things, and from picking up poop to interacting in a new environment and traveling and being real and dealing with life and all kinds of stuff. And dying, and whatever that might mean to you. So let's finish off with your final word.
My final word is, one day your life will flash before your eyes. Make sure it's worth watching. Na 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 na